Praise the Lord. We are so thankful to be here just one more time for Tea Time Tuesday. It's a very somber day over the land, and I'm drinking calm tea today. Normally I drink calm tea in the evening or chamomile, but I'm drinking calm tea to keep myself calm. So I pray that you out there are having your tea as well. And I'm just going to thank our guests for being here with me today. We have Sister Angelique Gibson, who is an executive at Avid Exchange, who focuses on technology. We're so thankful to have Minister Renee Carter, who is a certified counselor and the author of the book, What About Me? And we're also thankful to have our dear sister, Sister Elizabeth Poplin, was one of the founders of Ember. Many of you are familiar with the Ember Ministry right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So we're going to open with prayer because, yes, our hearts are heavy and we are sensitive to the move of what's going on in our land. So wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to make sure you have your cup of tea as we prepare to have our candid conversation, our tough topics today. And we are going to be transparent about what we sense, what we're sensing in our heart, and what we are sensing God is saying at this time. So let us go before the throne of grace. Most gracious and holy God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for looking beyond our faults and seeing our very needs. We thank you that you are a comforter, that you promised that you would never leave us comfortless, but that you will send the Holy Spirit. So we say, Holy Spirit, have your way during this time. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. 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 Well, I'm going to have a sip of tea before we get started. I'm going to ask my guests to have a sip of tea as well. Amen. Angelique has a mug. Everybody has a mug. All right. All right. I think I see some, yes, lipstick there. So, yes, we are thankful. We are thankful. We are handling the tough topics today. But let us be mindful that even during this hour, the family of George Floyd is having his homegoing service. So we ask that you pray for that family, pray for their friends, pray for our community, pray for our nation. We believe that prayer undergirds our streets, and we ask God to release angels over our nation. We ask God that justice will ring from the White House on down in the name of Jesus. Well, I am thankful that we have these guests, as I said earlier, and I'm excited about hearing from them. And I just want them to share what's on their heart. So many times we say, speak to the prophets. We said to the prophets, prophets, what do you sense God is saying? But we are operating, we have many gifts that are being represented here today. And so I just want them to speak their hearts. So I'm just going to start this time with Mrs. Angelique Gibson. What's on your heart right now, Angelique, and what are you sensing God is saying?
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be with you guys today. You know, certainly heavy heart. I think about, you know, what is God calling me to do individually as a person to stand for justice? And then also, what is he calling me to do as a leader of a diverse group of folks that I lead at Avid Exchange? And he's just has me in a place where I'm examining my heart, making sure that if there's anything in there that needs to go, that we're getting that uprooted. And so grateful for the Holy Spirit for that. But really in a season of, you know, listen before we speak, right? Be slow to speak and quick to listen. And there's just so many voices out there. So really just sifting the voices to get to his voice, to be mindful that there's one truth, it's found in him, and we are a people who are called to stand for righteousness and justice, because that's what his throne room is built upon. So as a Christ follower, what does that look like? Not just in thinking, but in doing. And so lots of marinating and praying, seeking him on what is my next step personally, just as a human, and then also as a leader in the community.
Amen. Amen. Angelique, there are several scriptures that come to mind as you share. David says, search me, O Lord, and try me. And if you see anything impure. So David realized that he had something in his heart. We all have something in our hearts. And I'm a country girl, so we had chickens, and the chickens will have a little craw. And so it would have all kinds of corn and whatever they had been pecking on throughout the day. So what's in our craw? What are the components? And I love that prayer of examination that goes back, reminds me of Ignatius. Does the prayer of St. Ignatius, does the prayer of examine. And when we do the prayer of examine, it calls us to reflect on what has happened throughout today. And usually it's really one of the designs is to do it at the end of the day. But in this day and time, things are happening so fast. We're in this warp speed season. We just need to constantly examine our thoughts, examine our hearts, and examine what we sense God is saying and doing. And so, yes, we know we have to put feet to our prayers. And the word tells us that when God begins a good work in us, he will complete it. So I'm excited about what God is doing in and through you and how you are making a difference in the marketplace. Many people like to refer to it as a mountain or an area of influence. You are making the difference. And I ask you to continue to use your voice. And we talked about how 2020 is the year of the voice. Will you speak to that, Angelique? And then I'm going to hear what's on Renee's heart, Minister.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. So we had a day retreat back in the fall in September, and it was right before the start of the new year, the Hebrew year 5780. And 80 in Hebrew is the number, it's pay, P-E-Y. And that actually means the mouth. So we actually started the first year of the decade of the mouth, which is what God has been putting in our hearts. He's been plowing up the hard grounds of our hearts, planting the seeds of righteousness so we can produce with our mouths a crop of love. Because when we speak, we're either creating life or creating death. And so when we serve the Lord, it is up to us and it's our responsibility to speak what he's whispering in our ears so the people can hear the truth. And so it's really a time to be empowered and emboldened to speak the truths that are in our hearts, because this is an anointed time of speaking. God is very specific on his calendar. He has a system for everything. He is a God of order. And so we are to trust and stand firm that if he says this is the year and the beginning of a decade of speaking, we are to walk boldly in that. And so I pray that I am able to do so in service of him.
Amen. Because truly death and life are in the power of the tongue. And as a person speaketh, so are they. Amen. Tongue. So we decree an anointing on our tongues. We decree because out of our mouth is a reflection of what we're thinking, and out of the issues of the heart is the burden of the heart. Yes. And so our heart and our mouth need to be checked. Amen. So we pray right now for a check, for an examination of the heart and of the mind in the name of Jesus. And we decree the blood of Jesus that our words will line up with the words of God, precept upon precept and line upon line, and that we will speak life. So right now we speak life and we speak healing and we speak restoration over our land. We believe that God is faithful, and we just thank him for this time to share. But we realize at the same time, there's a lot going on in our country and in the streets of our nation. So Renee, thank you again. You're looking beautiful in that yellow. Amen. And some of us have decided to let our, I call them permanent highlights. We have, we have decided to let our permanent highlights just come on out. And I went to the beautician the other day, and she did a great job, but I have become so accustomed to doing my own hair. And it was funny. I was like, well, I think I kind of like the way I do it, too. And so so the permanent highlights. Amen. And the permanent natural look as we go forth. So, Renee, I just love that. Again, I love that color, the necklace. And so will you please share with us what's on your heart? Thank you.
You were cutting out a bit, but I think you were asking me to please share what's on my heart. Is that correct?
Yes, please share what's on your heart, Renee.
Okay, all righty. Interesting, because I think all of us are in the same place. That's how God works. The scripture that God has given me for 2020, actually there are two, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Actually, I have a cup that says just that, be still and know that I'm God. The second scripture is, as Angelique has talked about the heart, God gave me, create in me a clean heart and renew a right or a steadfast spirit within me. And these scriptures sound so beautiful. They sound so lovely because it's the word of God. Oftentimes, as God tells us, my word is quick, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides, it discerns the heart. And so I have been under a heart examination by God, and it has hurt a bit. It has caused a certain rhythm in my heart. And there are things that I'm discovering and that God is allowing me to see that are disturbing. Right before the call, I was listening to a video, and Barbara, I sent you just a little clip of a video, and I mentioned this book to you, and I'll speak about it a little bit later. But the name of the book, the author is Dr. Joyce DeGruy. And the book that I had this book, I referenced it in my book as a recommendation, as a reference, and I had not read the book. You know how it is. I think Angelique mentioned how words have to marinate. And that's what it is for me a lot of times. I have a lot of books, and I have things even that I have written, because I've written an inspirational book of poetry. But some of the words I don't even understand. And this book was written eons ago. But the words are marinating. And we know, Barbara, I've mentioned in spiritual formation classes that I took with Barbara was the professor at Chun University. I even told her, I said, now I understand what these words mean. But the book is called Traumatic Slave Syndrome. And as I was reading a little bit of the book this morning, ladies and those of you who are listening, men and women, I began to weep because I learned what my ancestors, what we went through, what our Black women, our Black men went through. And I began to weep. And then I said, okay, let me just go and see if there are any recent videos that Dr. DeGruy has on YouTube. And so I did. And I think it would be very interesting for those of you who work in corporate, as Angelique, and I'm sure that, you know, the diversity trainings all over the place, and I'm sure a lot of them are going on now. But I do encourage us, I encourage the ladies and on the show this morning to look at, and I'll send this to Barbara if you all are interested in listening to it and watching it. But she has done, Dr. DeGruy did a video, and it was 5 days old. So it's very contemporary. It's right in the midst of where we are today. But the name of the video is Diversity Training Isn't Enough: Racism, Trauma, and Justice. And so I didn't get a chance to finish it because we had to come on live, but I can't wait to finish it. But it just opens up so much for me and some of the things that God is saying to me. And I'm sure we're going to get into it as far as the events of the day, particularly George Floyd's murder on, you know, live view for everyone, the whole world to see. But yes, asking God to create in me a clean heart and the right spirit within me. And three L's, Angelique mentioned one of them, two of them. The three L's for me are listen, learn, and love. So we'll see how God wants me to express that with the gifts that he's given me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Renee. And we're going to now hear what's on Elizabeth's heart.
I have listened, and I am continuing to listen. It is a privilege to listen to those like you, Renee, and Dr. Peacock. And as I've been reading and as I've been praying and lamenting and crying and talking to the Lord about this, he's brought to mind a book in the Bible. And it's a book that I've taught many, many times to young mothers and women that I teach. It's the book of Nehemiah. And he has brought me back to the first chapter of Nehemiah when his brother comes and says to him, and Nehemiah says, "Tell me about Jerusalem. What's going on?" And his brother says, "It's in ruins." And so I really feel like the Lord prompted me back to this place to see what Nehemiah did when he found out that the people the people and the place that he loved and the city was in ruins. And so what did Nehemiah do before he began to rebuild and before he began the work that God had called him to do? He walked into it not knowing what he would find, but just being so willing. And so what Nehemiah did is in chapter 1, verse 4, and this is where God has put me. He said, "When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept." And I think that's where a lot of us have been, that it has just been a time of weeping and a time of lament. And he said, "For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven." But this is where I love Nehemiah's prayer in the first chapter of this book. Nehemiah cries out to the Lord and he says, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer that your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." So when I look at this, I see so many similarities to where we are. Here's what Nehemiah does. He says this: "I confess the sins that we Israelites, including myself and my father's house," and in some in translations that translates to "myself and my ancestors." And so for me to look at this and to see that Nehemiah confessed not only his sin, but the sin of his ancestors, and it came out at me like a dart, like a bolt of lightning, that my sorrow and the things that I have seen and the things that I have for too long been silent about just because I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I have to confess those things before the Lord. And I also want to and need to, as Nehemiah did, confess the sins of my ancestors and lament and mourn for those. And so he does that. And he asks the Lord to be with him in the work that he will begin. And then he goes before the king and he says, "May I go?" And then he begins the work that the Lord has called him to do in the rebuilding. But first he cries and he confesses, and then he begins the work. And so I think for so many of us, it has been a time of mourning and lament and confession. And then my prayer and hope is that we will go forward together in this work, because this is a work that we have to do together and a rebuilding that has to take place together as the people of God. And there were people that came and discouraged Nehemiah, Sanballat and Tobias. And in chapter 6, verse 3, Nehemiah says this, and I love this. He says, when they tried to discourage him and get him to come off the wall, and I feel like we will experience that. We will become discouraged and we will become tired and we will become disillusioned, and that will set in at some point. He says, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. And so may that be where we stay. May we stay on the wall to rebuild the wall. I love this from Nehemiah thousands of years ago about a city in ruins and how today we can look at this and say, yes, Lord, give us a posture like Nehemiah and help us to go and rebuild and do the work. It has to be done through lament, confession, and just a resolve to go and do the work that must be done.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. I was this much short of asking you to pray the prayer of confession. You prayed that prayer of confession. Such a heartfelt prayer on when we did the midnight war cry a little over a week ago as we went into Pentecost Sunday. You mentioned the word united as we go forth. And so, Angelique, can you kind of share with us, as the woman in corporate America, knowing that God has given you that assignment, what does unity look like, or what can we pray for unity to look like in corporate America? And you have to unmute yourself because you've muted yourself. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm reflecting back on what Pastor Derwin Gray said on an interview last week, which is proximity breeds intimacy and intimacy creates space for love. And so the same is true in the marketplace. If we show up to the workplace every day, and I love what Sister Renee shared about, it's not about a diversity and inclusion program. That's not the answer. The answer is, how do we actually create proximity across racial lines, all people group lines, to start to build community? So we have to, part of examining our hearts is also examining our actions. So who do I choose to break bread with at lunch? Am I eating lunch with just those folks who look like me? Or am I being intentional to reach across the line to eat lunch with someone, to listen, to learn about them? Who am I socializing with from work after work? Who am I spending time with? Am I actually seeking out to have communion and fellowship with people who do not look like me? And I believe that the heart issues we all have, because God says there's not one without sin, I believe that the heart issues that we have begins with first understanding, are we doing fellowship across racial lines? And if the answer is no, my encouragement would be, well, maybe today is the day that we take that first step towards doing that. And it could be as simple as having a coffee, taking a 15-minute break to go just sit down and just to understand who you're working with. I mean, for me, I'm a leader who wants to know my people. I believe that I am a shepherd of a flock. And how can you shepherd a flock if you don't know who your flock is? And so I'm very intentional to sit down to understand names. Names are a big deal. God gave people names for a reason. It's an indication of where he's calling them to be. And as my job as a leader, I am to steward that and to help bring that out. So I need to do it equally across the entire team, not just with one subset of people. And so, again, it's not about a D&I program. It's about how do we start to break down the biases and the discrimination in the human heart to create unity through fellowship. You're muted.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much, Angelique. I want to bring Renee on now because, Renee, you, when we were talking on Saturday noon, we had a time of prayer for midwives praying. And we talked about the last words of George Floyd. And you had some great insight and revelation on his language, his phrase, calling on his mother, mama. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask you to share what you are sensing in the spirit and what you're sensing overall when George Floyd said mama.
Okay. Can you hear me? I don't know if I'm muted or not.
I can hear you.
Okay. When George Floyd was taking his last breath, he called Mama, Mama. And then I don't know if everyone could hear it, but he said, I'm through, I'm through. And that just cut to the core of me as a mother, as a Black mother, as a, and I thought so, so many things that were going through me when I saw him there. I even thought about, wow, when Jesus was on the cross, and I'm not, you know, making an analogy to Jesus and George Floyd, not at all, don't hear what I'm not saying. But when Jesus was on the cross taking his last breath, one of the things that he said, two things he said, he looked over at his mother and he said to John, behold your mother. So he was concerned about his mother because she nurtured him. She loved him. She cared for him when probably nobody else did. He knew that he could call on Mama. And then he said, it is finished. It is finished. So with George Floyd calling Mama, by the way, his mama had been dead for 2 years, but yet the innards of him was reaching out for her. And I believe he was reaching for the mothering spirit of God, because God has a mothering spirit. And I believe that it was a clarion call. We've been talking about voices and the power of our voices and what comes out of our voices. So we've got to hear, we've got to, again, listen intently to see what is being said, not just on the surface, but we got to drill down to what is the message from the voices that we're listening to. And so I heard that as a call to me as a Black woman to learn how to really, really love my Black man the way God loves him.
Right.
And we say we love. And it's so interesting because as Sunday, you know, listening, because we're not in church and we're not in the buildings, most of us are still streaming. And I laugh with people and I said, hey, you know, this is a legitimate church hopping time. We can church hop, you know, we can listen to one sermon, then we can listen to another. And so I listened to bits and pieces of three different sermons. And do you know that the common theme was love? Wow, God, what on earth? I hear what you're saying. It was love. And they each broke it down in a different way. One pastor said, we've said here, love is an action. Angelique, you said that it's an action. What do we do? We can say, oh, I love you, I love you. And we casually use the word love. We'll use love talking about, you know, food. Ooh, I love sweet potato pie. Oh, I love pumpkin pie. Or I love whatever. But the different types of love, and all of us know the different types of love, but the love that we're talking about is agape love, which is the love of God, it's nothing like the love that we casually refer to. It's love in action. And so to me, and I think we have to hear what words, because I think they penetrated the hearts of so many people, particularly mothers and women. But we have to hear what God was saying to, what I believe, I really believe that God was speaking, and we can hear what he was saying to you specifically. To me, it was that me as a Black woman, that I'm the closest to understanding a Black man. Because we've been together since, before the slave ship, before the Middle Passage, we were together in the bowels of the ship under horrendous circumstances that I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. Barbara, you mentioned it in your book. And then Dr. DeGruy mentions it again in her book, even more graphically. And so then we've been with our Black man, but there has been an intentional strategy, if you will, by the enemy to separate us. It's historical, it's cultural, and we don't even realize it. We as Black women, I don't think we even realize it. And so God is saying, you of all people, you've got to really, really learn how to love your Black man so that other people can see you loving your Black man. And then they can take a cue from you as to what loving that Black man is all about. And not loving him, not respecting him, what harm that can do, not only by the enemy who puts a knee to his neck to snatch the very life out of him, but disrespecting your Black man, not forgiving your Black man, perhaps for the hurt that he may have caused you inadvertently or intentionally because of the things that were going on in his heart that are historical, that are cultural, that are systemic, that are strategic. So that's what I heard, and God is saying even more to me. I don't have it all. Again, it's marinating. I don't have it all, but yeah.
Thank you.
That's part of what I heard.
Thank you, Renee. I'm mindful of when my husband was in corporate and in the chemical industry for many years, and he would come home just based upon what you're saying, I just want to kind of back into it, how you were saying that it's necessary to love and to respect and to honor our Black men. And that kind of catapulted out of your response to George Floyd calling on his mother. But I was getting ready to say, when my husband used to come home, he says, Barbara, I fight with corporate all day. I don't need to come home and fight with you. So there is a different struggle that African-American men have. And this past Sunday, we were so blessed to have our son-in-law lead us in devotion. And he talked about Simon of Cyrene. And my son-in-law is Irish, and how he talked about how when he was in the Catholic Church, Simon of Cyrene was a white man as he did the stages of the cross. But when he was in the Black church, that Simon of Cyrene was a Black man. And so, and we talked about the proximity of the Black man with the cross as it relates to Jesus going for his crucifixion. And so that's a lesson all by itself, Angelique, and all you Bible study professors and teachers. I want to bring Miss Elizabeth back. We're getting ready to close, and I would like to hear her closing comments. You could talk about George Floyd if you like, Elizabeth. You could talk about repentance. You could pray. You could talk about privilege or social justice or systematic racism. We don't have enough time to cover it all, but those were some things we have been thinking about. So Elizabeth, just give us your closing remarks and come to us any way you would like to come.
I have a picture on my phone. I don't know if you can see this, but this is George Floyd and his mother. And he's a little boy in this picture. Can you see it? And do you see her smile? I love this picture, and I look at it a lot, and I'll send it to you. But the prayers that we pray for our husbands, our children, we're all mothers on this call. They never die. And I believe that I know that she had been gone for 2 years before George Floyd was murdered. And I know that the prayers that she stored up, Revelation says that they are stored in bowls. And so I want to encourage us today to pray for our children and our grandchildren who are behind us, who will take up this mantle and who we will pass this torch to, and who we want when we're long gone and after we've breathed our last breath, that the prayers that we pray for our children and our grandchildren will not die. Because I certainly don't want them, and this is my prayer for them today, that they will not have to fight this fight, and that this will be totally different. When my boys are 44 years old, I do not want them to have to go and protest and walk and watch this on the news and explain this to their children. And so for me, that is my prayer for them, that there will be so much change. And I believe that God is working. But my prayer, the prayers that we store up in bowls for this generation, for a generation who will speak into this, for a generation who I believe is willing and is ready to make change, we will pray for them, and we will not stop, because our prayers will not die. And the precious prayers that George Floyd's mother prayed for him did not die. And I know that those prayers sustained him, carried him, ministered to him, and drew him ever closer to her. And so what a beautiful day. What a beautiful time that when he got to see her again. I just know that was beautiful. And I just love this picture. I am so hopeful. And I love the hope that I hear on this call, and the lament, and all that God is doing. And I believe him for what he says, but prayer is such an integral part of this. And we have to remain so prayerful, knowing that our prayers will outlive us.
Amen. I love that. Our prayers will not die. Amen. And we thank God that they are a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God, and we must continue to pray, and we must continue to put action to our prayers. We must continue to seek God, and we must be mindful how quickly the word is moving. I was speaking to my spiritual director yesterday, and she said, we're all in the same nest. She said, we're all in a nest, And we're all crying out. Those of us in the communities that have a heart for social justice and righteousness, we're in the same nest together. And she said that we need soul care, and that blessed me so much. So I want to encourage all of you that do not have my book Soul Care to please get it. Soul Care in African American Practice. And you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Books A Million, Christian Bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart. Amen. Just get it. Amen. And I started this book 11 years ago. And to see how practical and how applicable it is at this hour is just amazing. Only God can do that. Only God can set you up like that. So I just want to encourage you all out there that you've been waiting for God to do something. And God is saying he will do it. He will do it. So don't give up. Hold on. Believe God. Put God in remembrance of his promises. So yes, it started 11 years ago, but we don't know how God's going to use things that he's doing in you right now as Elizabeth was talking about her children, and even how she's raising her children, and how George Floyd's mother prayed for him. So we put seed in the ground. Keep some seed in the ground. Keep some, stay in that word every day. Meditate every day. Pray every day. Journal as needed. But keep some spiritual seed in the ground. And I encourage you to keep some financial seed in the ground. There's seed time, and there is harvest time. We're going to now hear our closing comments from Miss Angelique Gibson. God bless you, Angelique.
Thank you. So I love the idea, the truth of prayers don't die. And I'm reminded that Jesus's final prayer was for our unity. Mm-hmm. That is the criticality of what we're dealing with. And that's why there's such an onslaught from the enemy to divide us, because the very fruit of our unity actually means that the world will believe he came. Father, as I am in you and you are in me, let them be in me and I in them. So the world will believe you sent me. That is the stakes that we're dealing with. So from my perspective, it's time we rise as a bride and we glorify our Father in heaven through our demonstration of unity, because he did not separate us. He wants us united. And he's had me in Lamentations the last few days. And I'm starting at Lamentations 3, verse 37, and then I'm going to pop back up to 21. But who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? If it is not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and the good things come, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and the good things come? So I'm reminded that not only did Jesus cry out to the Father for our unity, but he will use the very thing that is breaking our hearts to bring about the unity. He will use the calamity for the good thing of unity. And he promises this through verse 21. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Hope is what's keeping us to fight for the fight. Without hope, we have lost. But hope is what's keeping us alive. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, not some, every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. So let us be a people who are waiting on him, for him to guide our steps, to put our faith in action for the call of unity, because that was his prayer for his children, which are you and I.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much. God wants us to be unified in Christ. There is neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile, black nor white. We all have the same blood. Amen. There's a song I like to sing every now and then. I didn't sing it. I like to sing it. I haven't sung it in a while. And I don't know, maybe I think Renee has heard me sing it. But I'm gonna sing it, okay? It goes, it's a song I learned in the fourth grade. Good night, I said to my little son. So tired when the day was done. Then he said as I tucked him in, tell me, Daddy, what color's God's skin? What color is God's skin? What color is God's skin? I said, it's black, brown, yellow. Is it red? Is it white? Every man's the same in the good Lord's sight. He looked at me with his shining eyes. I knew I could tell no lies. He said, Daddy, why do the different races fight? If every man's the same in the good Lord's sight. What color is God's skin? What color is God's skin? I said, it's black, brown, yellow. Is it red? Is it white? Every man's the same in the good Lord's sight. Every man's the same in the good Lord's sight. Every man's the same in the good Lord's sight. Good Lord's sight. Amen. Amen. So God is no respecter of person. So I just want us all to, I'm going to want us all to say thank you to those that join us today. And let's just give God praise for this time. And I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer. Renee, if you could close us in prayer.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Okay.
Thank you. Father, we thank you so much for this time, God, for this gathering, Father, so that we can talk about what it is, Lord, that you're saying to us during this hour. Lord, create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits within us, God. Father, so that we can hear the clarion call from heaven, your voice, and only your voice, God, shall we hear, listen to, and obey. We know, God, that you will speak through those that you choose. And you've chosen, God, these sisters today, God, to speak. And so, God, we are in a position to listen. We, oh God, are in a position to learn. And oh Father, thank you that you're creating our hearts to be in a position to love as you love. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Dr. Peacock. Thank you for her book, God, that you've given her for such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.